Matthew chapter 19,
page 986. And we're continuing our series through the Gospel according to Matthew, week by week, with a one-off next week. We're going to have a step aside, but it's our normal pattern. We go through books of the Bible, following page by page, chapter by chapter, because that's the way the Bible is written. It's written in books, and we understand books as we read through the whole book. Beginning at verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that word of the Lord open, because we are going to be thinking about it together now. And I'm going to ask you to look at some of the words that are written there. A visitor came to our house on Thursday. He had to be carried in because he couldn't even walk. He had to be fed because he couldn't feed himself, and he couldn't actually stay awake for very long. He fell asleep while he was visiting us. At one point as well, he got upset and couldn't calm himself down. Someone had to calm him down. Now, Tito's only 3 months old, so it's not surprising that he couldn't do all of those things. He needed help. But what might be a surprise is that Jesus said, Tito and people like him can be our teacher. What does he mean? How can an infant teach us? Well, Jesus says you can learn from a child what it is that's needed to be in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. See that verse 14. When the disciples were saying, "Keep the children away," Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. Do not stop them coming, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Now, what is it that those children have got that we need to have? Why is it that they are the sort of people who have the kingdom of heaven? Some people will say, well, look at the way children obey. We've got to obey God. That's the character they've got. Some will say, look how innocent children are. We've got to be innocent to enter into God's kingdom. Some say, look how much children love each other, how affectionate they are for others. And the rest of us who have got children know none of that's true. That's not true of little children, is it? They're not always obedient, affectionate, and innocent. Any parent or teacher would tell us that children are not that obedient. It's something that they need to learn. They need to be taught. Children can be entirely selfish, not innocent and sinless. I'll try this. Ask two little children to share their toys. How well is that going to go? And as for being loving towards each other, our local school playgrounds are full of proof of how unloving and spiteful children can be. Now, I'm not wanting to say children are bad and adults are good. My wife, Karen, she said a number of times recently, she was saying, we are just like toddlers, aren't we? You know, when we lose our temper, when we're impatient with each other, we do it in an adult way. We make it look proper, make it look like we're being very sensible and fair. But really, we've got the same problems with misbehavior often. So Jesus isn't naive and sentimental about children. He knows what they're like. And yet he still says there's something they can teach us. What is it? And it's this. It's in a real sense, children are helpless. People had to bring these children to Jesus so that he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. And everyone's got to go through that stage in life, haven't they? But the thing is, we grow up and then we become the people who carry other children around, other people around, and get proud. We see that we're on the giving end rather than on the receiving end. But children are the ones to learn this lesson from. They can't move unless you pick them up and carry them. They can't keep themselves clean unless you change them and wipe them down. They can't eat unless you feed them. They're helpless and they would die without us. Jesus isn't saying you've got to be good at asking. Like children are good at asking. When Tito came to our house, he was asleep. Didn't even know where he was. Woke up in a different place. He didn't ask to come. So if we could have this, the next bit on the slide, please. The first thing we're learning here is trust Jesus. He helps the helpless. Trust Jesus. He helps the helpless. Who needs to hear that? Well, some people I meet tell me they are sure they will get into heaven. They give to charities. They don't go to church, but they do pray. They take their friends to doctor's appointments. They get on well with their family. Those are all good things. But it's a mistake to think, yeah, I can do this, and that puts me on God's side. The Bible says we are helpless to have life with God. We are helpless to have life with God. So trust Jesus, who will do it for us. We're like babies. We can't move towards God unless Jesus picks us up and takes us there. We can't keep ourselves clean in God's sight. Jesus has to change us. We can't last unless Jesus keeps us going each day. Now, others of us are sure that we will never get to heaven because we've messed up so much. And what Jesus is saying to those people is it's not about being good like children. It's about being helpless like children and relying on someone else. It doesn't depend on you. What's it mean for me personally? Joel, my life is not what it should be. And Jesus says, that's okay. I've messed up. That's okay. How is it okay? Is it okay that I disappoint other people and let them down? Is it okay that when I rang my mum this week, who's got dementia, I didn't really listen very well to her in the phone conversation? Is it okay that I've been impatient with Karen, my wife? No, none of that's reasonable to do. And none of it's okay for me to carry on as a regular pattern of life. But none of it shuts me out of God's kingdom because it doesn't depend on me. It's done for us. We're like babies. We have to be carried there. And that's what Jesus will do. Trust Jesus. He helps the helpless. If you're not a Christian, Jesus is telling you, you cannot get into heaven by something you do. You can't get into heaven by having the right character or the right family background. Mark brilliantly picked the songs for us this week. You don't get into heaven by having a mother or a brother or a sister or whoever else. You know, they don't get you in the right family. You can't get into heaven by all the things we do. There's only one way. What is the one way? Jesus. Yeah. So don't rely on those things to make you feel secure. And don't despair if you see things are wrong in your life. Because it's not about you. It's about Jesus. If you are hungry to know God, the God who keeps us breathing, then listen to Jesus. He says it's not about you. It's about him. Don't be complacent if you think you've done some good things and God must be pleased with you. Don't be anxious if you're worried about the things you've got wrong. Think about Jesus and what he has done. Trust Jesus. He helps the helpless. Now, on a page here, we see that no sooner has Jesus said the kingdom of heaven belongs to people like little children, someone turns up who wants to get his way into the kingdom in a very different way. Someone else turns up very different. Verse 16, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? You see how far away that is from what Jesus has just said? As we read through, we find out about this person that he's rich. Does it tell us he's young? I can't remember. Verse 22, he was young. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. So he's rich, he's young, he's clean because of all the things he's done in his life, spiritually clean or religiously clean. He's got resources. What are the resources he's got? He's got energy of being a young man. He's got wealth. And he's got moral keenness. He's used to getting what he wants. And he's heard of Jesus. And I think this Jesus, he's a teacher. He can teach me something. I want to have this thing Jesus has been talking about. Jesus has been talking about life with God. I'm going to go and ask that man, what have I got to do to get that? What's the next thing for me to do? Verse 17, Jesus says, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. He's there, he's talking about his Father. He's not saying that he isn't God. He's saying you need to, in everything, I'm dependent on the Father. Look to God the Father. If you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments. And then Jesus mentions some of the Ten Commandments, those that Karen came forward and read earlier this morning. Follow his commands. Now, that seems a bit strange, doesn't it? Isn't Jesus about forgiveness for people who've broken the commands? Isn't Jesus all about mercy for people who fail? Well, he is. So why must this man keep the commands? Jesus is answering the man's questions about what I must do. And he's not saying you do these to earn life. It's not like getting stamps in a book. We will not have eternal life if we do not start to know Jesus as king over our lives. Okay, we need to start doing the things that the king says we must do. When we know Jesus is king, then we start to live our lives for him. It's not that if we do these things, we get into the kingdom. It's when we're in the kingdom, we will start to live like this. You can't have life with God if you stay God over your life, what Jesus is saying. Well, what's a young man say in response to that? Verse 20, all these I've kept, the young man says. What do I still lack? What's the extra I've got to do? And Jesus reveals to him that the way to life with God is very different. And he reveals this man's heart. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. See, it never occurred to this rich, young, eager man that the good thing he wanted would cost so much. That this is something I can do. You know, I've tried hard, just a little bit more trying and I'll get it. And Jesus says the cost is much more than he thinks of. He can keep all those laws. He can even keep extra laws. But because of his wealth, his heart is split. You see, having eternal life, doing God's will, means having a childlike humility. And this man, he's committed to do following rules, but it's all useless because his heart is in love with his money. And if he has to choose between money and Jesus, money wins. So this man is the opposite of the humble approach of like a child. He wants to earn eternal life. He thinks he can do more than the rules of God ask. But Jesus says, okay, this is what God really asks. He wants you to love me, Jesus, more than you love money. And he wants you to follow me, Jesus. So the second point, come up on the side, love Jesus and he will give abundantly. We're going to see that. Love Jesus is the first point, and he will give abundantly. Jesus now teaches his disciples. The man has turned away disappointed, and Jesus turns to his disciples. Verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Getting into God's kingdom is not something we humans can do. We can't work our way in. It's only something God can give us. It's as easy for a rich person to do that as it is to get a camel through the eye of a needle. Now, the camel back there was the biggest animal people would see. It's the biggest vehicle on the road. It's like saying, can you get a supermarket lorry, one of the biggest vehicles on our roads, can you get that through a keyhole of a door? It's going to be messy, isn't it? And the lorry's not going to be much good after you've done that. It's impossible for us. But God can do it. You see, the danger for the rich person is that their money can steal their heart. And so they don't want to let go of that in order to hold on to what God gives. Jesus loves, he will give abundantly. Peter answers in verse 20, sorry, Jesus looked at them, and let me go back even further, 25. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, who then can be saved? Because entering into life with God, another way of saying that is being saved, being safe to have life with God. And Jesus answered, looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, to those 12 men who are his apostles, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. One of them's going to fall away. We know that Judas Iscariot is going to betray him, but his seat will be taken by another. And that's talked about later in the account. But there's a message for us. We're not 12 apostles. We're not going to sit on 12 thrones. But there's a message for us here today in Dagenham Parish Church. Verse 29. And everyone. So this is you. This is me. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields, so family relations or possessions or prestige or achievements, we let go of those to hold on to the kingdom. What will happen? We'll receive 100 times as much and we'll inherit eternal life. Love Jesus, he will give abundantly. So for this young man, the choice was, will I give up everything for Jesus or will I hold on to my money? That was his choice. Other people have got different choices. Is it a choice between Jesus and being successful? Is it a choice between following Jesus or being popular? Is it a choice between Jesus and having a job promotion? Is it a choice between Jesus and having good relations with my family? Or is it a choice between Jesus and having sports success? If we want to have life with God, we face those choices. Because whether you're at school, or whether you're at college, or whether you're in work, or whether you're retired, not lying will cost you success. And Jesus says, don't lie. Being kind to the difficult person in your class at school, that will make you unpopular. But Jesus says we're to be kind to difficult people. Not approving and celebrating same-sex relations might mean the manager won't give you a promotion. Coming to church rather than being at family events might leave the family unhappy with you. Do you see these choices and these costs that come with them? What Jesus says to this man seems a bit extreme, doesn't it? Sell everything today and walk away from it with Jesus. A bit like saying, you know, leave your mother and walk away from her to follow Jesus. Big choices. And we might have to make big choices. So for me, a vicar here, I'm having to face the idea we might have to leave our house because the Church of England is pushing through changes in teaching about sex and marriage that are wrong. If they're going to try and force us to do that, I'm going to have to say no. Could that mean I lose my house because my house comes with my job? It's a big choice for me. But we won't make big choices like that if we haven't made the small choices that are going to happen this week. You and I will have small choices this week. Am I going to just follow my pleasure? Or am I going to follow God's command that I care for others? Am I going to hold on to bitter thoughts? Or am I going to follow Jesus' command that I pray for others? Am I going to spend my life scrolling through my phone? Or am I going to follow God's way of thinking, how can I help someone? Am I going to look at pornography on the internet or engage in a wrong relationship with someone else? Or follow God's way that sex belongs to marriage for a man and a woman? We've got these choices. What does God say, Jesus say, to those who make the right choice? Verse 29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake, not for keeping a rule, but because they're committed to Jesus, those people will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So Jesus is promising, if your family rejects you because you're putting Jesus first, you should find a new family in the church. If you have to walk away from wealth because you're serving Jesus, God will provide you with all you need. He'll never owe you. There'll never be a situation where you've had to let go of something and you'll go through the rest of the life and God think, oh, that, wow. Well, look at what Chris and Sally gave up for me. Oh, you know, I owe them so much. God's never going to say that because God is the giving God. He will give us so much more than we let go of. For him. Love Jesus. Love him first. He will give abundantly. If you're not a Christian here this morning, if you're not a believer in Jesus, I hope you see the goodness here, that God doesn't hide away these hard details. And it's not in the small print in the back of the Bible. It's right up there in Jesus' life and teaching. It cost everything. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Jesus has said, you can't do it. You have to be like a baby. You have to be helpless. And at the same time, you have to be willing to let go of everything. Those things go together. We sometimes find it hard to see how they go together, but they are there together. You can't do it. Only God can do it for you. But you won't be in it if you're not willing to give up everything for it. They both go together. Here's the last word from Jesus, verse 30. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. We think that people who are rich and powerful and successful and popular and skilled and good looking, we think, you know, they're the winners and they're winning through this life and they'll carry on winning into the next. And Jesus says, well, those things don't, many of those people, they're not going to be carrying on into the next life with God. Those things won't count. Those who know they are helpless, they know they've messed up, they say, Jesus, help me. They're the people who have life with God now and into the future. Trust Jesus. He helps people who are helpless. Love Jesus. He will give abundantly. Let's have a moment's pause, and then I will lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, we thank and praise you that Jesus makes clear here that you are a God who looks after people who are helpless. Jesus came into the world to do what we could not do. We are like utter babies. We need help. And Jesus as well said we have to let go of the things that seem so precious to us, to hold on to the thing that is more precious, life with you. Thank you that you have made those things plain, that you love us, that you show them to us. Help us to believe this when it seems hard to believe. Help us to continue to trust that you are a caring God who will give much more than we have let go of. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.